Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mkandawire, Murisei. How are you? How are you, my pastor?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Pastor. Good to have you on the show. I hope your day has been good.
It has been. It's been lovely. It's good to be back. Thank you so much.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. Well, we are continuing from yesterday's discussion where we're talking about forgiveness. And of course, it's a very serious topic, and I think that the one that we actually need to talk about. And so today we start off the conversation on forgiveness with trying to understand how our relationships among others as humans affect our relationship with God, as far as our theme of forgiveness goes. So does God really withhold forgiveness when we struggle to forgive those who have hurt us? And so we're going to be looking at that today. But before we get into today's topic, yesterday we just ran out of time, and one of the things I wanted to check, have I truly forgiven if I say, well, I've forgiven you, Andrew, but quite frankly, I think that you stay on your lane, I stay on my lane, and there's nothing that we need to be doing together. But you know what? I hold nothing against you. You're a brother, and I'll still pray for you, but I don't want any contact. Would we define that as forgiveness?
Well, it depends on whether you are genuine with your forgiveness or whether this person is repentant in the first place. And so if they are not repentant, but you find no choice but to forgive because you do it for yourself,
all right,
whether they have asked for forgiveness or not, they are human still. And if they're not repentant, they could hurt you again. And so if they have not asked for forgiveness, and you forgive, you go ahead and forgive them, you wisdom dictates that you just stay away from them. You have forgiven them, let them go, be at peace with whatever that they have done to you, heal from that pain. But they have not repented from their wrongs, they can hate you again. So be careful. Yeah. Jesus says to his disciples, I send you as lambs among wolves. And he says in another point, be wise like serpents, and yet humble as doves. And so wisdom dictates that we take care of ourselves. Even when we let go of the pain that arose as a result of the hurt we have suffered.
Very interesting.
But have you forgiven? Have you forgiven? Yes, you may have. So it depends on whether you are indeed genuine with your forgiveness. So you can forgive and detach. It is very possible, and sometimes wisdom dictates that you do so.
I see. And can we call that true forgiveness?
Yes. If you are genuine with your forgiveness, yes, it is true forgiveness. So the question is, does God forgive unrepentant sinners? That's a question that we should be asking. Does he forgive unrepentant sinners?
Okay.
Does he love them? Does he love unrepentant sinners? Yes, he does love them. But does he forgive unrepentant sin? No, he does not.
Okay.
That is why even among Christians, you will have a lot who will not make it to heaven because they still have a sin in their hearts, and God has not forgiven that sin because they have not repented of it.
Ah, I see. I see. Well, no, thank you. Thank you for that. We just wanted to iron that out coming from yesterday's discussion. Now, let's get into today's discussion points. How does forgiveness in my human relationships impact my relationship with God?
So, this is a beautiful question. John answers this question elaborately in his first letter, first epistle of John, in chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. And so you find in all these four chapters, he is answering this very question. How does forgiveness or how does your relationship with fellow human beings affect your relationship with God? So let me just throw a few texts at you. Please let me know if I take too much time.
No, go ahead.
Oh, great, great. Let's begin with 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. This is what the Bible says. If we say that we have fellowship with him, him being God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And so, fellowship with God means that we have fellowship with one another as human beings, and we walk in his light, the light of God. That's what John says. In chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, he says, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Verse 2. And he himself, Jesus Christ, is the propitiation of for our sins, and not for us only, but also for the whole world.
Yeah,
this is what makes us need to have a relationship with other human beings, because Christ is not the redeemer of our lives only. He redeems the entire world. Let's skip and jump to verse 9 of chapter 2.
Yeah.
This is what the Bible says. Verse 9 to 11. The Bible says, he who is in the light hates, he who is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Verse 11, but he who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because darkness has blinded his eyes. Simply because we don't have a genuine loving fellowship with our brothers, that hinders our genuine loving fellowship with our God, because it keeps us in the darkness still. This chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, in this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. That's verse 10. Let me skip to verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren.
Yeah.
He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer will have eternal life abiding in him. Let me just conclude chapter 3 by skipping to verse 18, and we'll end at verse 23. The Bible says, my little children, let us not love in word and tongue only, but in deed and truth. And by this we know that we are in the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. Beloved, our heart does not condemn us. We have confidence toward God. Verse 23, whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. And the last verse in chapter 3 verse 23 says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. As he gave us the commandment to love one another. And chapter 4, let me just do a few verses in chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, and then we'll skip to verse 11 through to 13. Verse 7 in chapter 4, the Bible says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
Yep.
Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. 12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know, verse 13, that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And so, from all this, from chapter verse 1 to verse 4, John is simply saying that because of the Spirit of God that dwells in us, he makes us able to love one another. And for as long as we have genuine love for one another, our relationship with fellow human beings commends us to God, to a relationship with God. Because we have love in us, abiding in us, that love that we manifest toward our brothers right here on earth is the same kind of love that we have with God, because we live in his light. Thus, he makes us to be able to love one another. And so, human relations are very cardinal for one who has a relationship with God, because they affect it.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Now, there's a part, that in the prayer that says, please forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. It sounds quite profound and very serious. Please just unpack this for us if you can.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, in the Lord's Prayer. What is interesting is that Jesus makes a comment of that verse in verse 14 and verse 15. And when he makes a comment, in his comment, he promises that if you forgive, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And so he says to us that we must forgive for us to be forgiven. Mm. Now, interestingly, the verse that you have quoted, that you have given, in the Lord's Prayer, verse 12 says, forgive us of our trespasses, our debt, as we forgive those who. So, in the Lord's Prayer, God forgives us first. Okay. And then we forgive those that trespass against us. That's how he puts it in the Lord's Prayer. When he makes a commentary in verse 14 and 15, he says we must forgive first before God forgives us. Mm-hmm. And that's what Jesus is saying. Now, in other words, he is simply saying that those of us who desire to find mercy with God must first show mercy to our brethren. Because when Christ came to die for our sins, to be the great peacemaker between us and God, he does not only come to reconcile us to God, but he also comes to reconcile us to one another. And so the aspect of forgiving others is extremely important for our own forgiveness. Now, what he is referring to here when he says, forgive us of our debt as we forgive those who trespass, our debtors, those who trespass against us, he is not speaking of salvation from sin,
okay,
but rather fellowship with God. The Lord's Prayer is actually addressing. So, for us to have fellowship with God, we must not harbor grudges against our fellow brothers and sisters. That's why it's that profound that he should say, forgive us of our debt, because we too forgive others who have debts against us.
Now, if I just want to check now, if one is not able to forgive, does unforgiveness block my blessings? Does that statement tell the truth?
Yes, according to the Bible, I have two texts for you.
Okay.
So, let me throw this first. Let me put it out of the way. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. Now, Deuteronomy 28, verse 15 is a bridge between the first part of Deuteronomy and the second part. The first part containing the blessings for Israel, ending up to verse 14.
Mm.
And then from verse 16 onwards, God has to outline the curses that the Israelites would have to put on themselves should they refuse to obey his word. And so verse 15 then comes in to just say, if you don't obey my word, or let me just simply read it, if you don't mind.
And that's okay, that's okay.
All right, verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28, the Bible says, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. This is what Moses is saying to the children of Israel.
Mm.
In the first 14 verses, he has outlined the blessings that God has for the children of Israel, the kinds of blessings that God wishes to overtake them. As they go into their promised land, God says, you will find these blessings already waiting for you, the first 14 verses.
Mm-hmm.
But he puts an injunction. He says to them, my blessings are not unconditional. Mm-hmm. And so while his love is unconditional, his blessings are not. We have to obey his word, his statutes, his commandments for the blessings of God to be fulfilled in our lives.
Mm.
Now, let me just go to Matthew. This is where I wanted to spend a little more time. Now, okay, Matthew chapter 18. I want to read from verse 28 to verse 35. This is in a parable that Jesus gives when Peter asks him a question concerning how many times one ought to forgive. And so he gives a parable. Now, part of the parable part of the parable from verse 28 onwards turns the story around. So the story is about a servant in the parable who had debt, and because he couldn't pay, so his master forgave it. But he himself had a friend who owed him something.
Mm-hmm.
After being forgiven by his friend, by his master, he decided to take it upon himself to recover his debt from his own friend who could not pay. Now, this is what the Bible says from verse 28, Matthew 18, verse 28. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then this master, after he had called him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him.
Mm.
Verse 35, the Bible says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now, this is Jesus concluding the parable by just now saying, so also my heavenly Father will do to you if. And so, to answer the question, yes, unforgiveness blocks God's blessings toward us.
Yeah, quite interesting indeed. Now, does God really withhold forgiveness if I don't forgive my debtors? Now, even if their transgression against me are unforgivable, I mean, if what a person has done to me is quite unforgivable, you know, they've killed my parents, or they've killed, you know, my, you know, siblings or whatever it is. Unforgivable. Mm-hmm. Would God then also not forgive me? I mean, of course, that's quite atrocious.
So there are two layers to this question, and it takes us back to chapter 6 of Matthew. And so the first part of the question is, does God really withhold his forgiveness from me if I don't forgive another? Mm-hmm. The second is there such thing as an unforgivable wrong against me? Mm-hmm. Let me begin with the last question, the last part. Because I am human, I don't get to determine what is forgivable and what is not. Because as far as God is concerned, every sin is forgivable. He can forgive every sin. That's what the gospel of his salvation tells us. And so, because God can forgive every sin, except for a sin that is committed against the Holy Spirit. By definition, we know it is a repetition or refusal to heed the voice of the Holy Spirit until such a time that one's grace runs out. Then they have committed a sin that cannot be forgiven. But as far as a particular wrong is concerned, there's not one that cannot be forgiven. And so as a human being, I don't get to determine what sin cannot be forgiven, however heinous the sin is. I don't have the power to determine which one cannot be forgiven and which one can be forgiven. As for the first part of the question, does God really withhold forgiveness if I refuse to forgive another? Mm-hmm. Well, Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 speaks to the fellowship we ought to have with God more than the salvation we get from sin when forgiven. And so, when the disciples ask him, "Teach us to pray," Jesus says, "This is how you ought to pray." Meaning that this is a pattern we must follow in prayer continually. Mm-hmm. And so, in the pattern of prayer, Jesus teaches us the aspect of forgiveness for ourselves when we need it. And then he ties that to that of others who do wrongs against us. And so, in that lesson on prayer, on how to pray, Jesus teaches us about the kind of fellowship we must have with God. So let's just put it this way.
Yeah.
Imagine that you harbor hatred for somebody for the things that they have wrongly done to you. And so you have all the reasons to harbor your hatred, because they did something wrong to you, but there is hatred in your heart. And then you go before God with that hatred in your heart. How do you relate with God with hatred in your heart? This is exactly what Jesus is addressing in this part of the prayer.
I see.
And so, because of what we are bearing, what is born in the heart, that makes it not necessarily impossible, but it blocks God from giving us what is due to us even when we pray, because our hearts are not right. And so when we put our hearts right with God, we harbor no hatred in our hearts. That is why we don't have the right to determine this is an unforgivable sin and this one is not.
Yeah.
Because when we do, then we go to God with a pricked heart, a painful heart, an injured heart. And God cannot heal us if we don't give him that pain for him to heal.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it is painful, and we must give it to God to heal. It can't be done by human power. It must be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. But we must first want God to heal us, and he will if we allow him to.
Beautiful.
And so, for as long as we don't allow him to heal the pain in our hearts, there's nothing God can do for us. And so we must give him our pain, and he will heal us. In his power, he will give us the ability to forgive and move on.
Fantastic. Well, Pastor Mkandawira, I must thank you so much for your time. We're completely out of time.
Amen.
It is time for the news, but I do thank you so, so much for coming through. We are going to be, getting to you again tomorrow, same time and same place. Yes. Blessings to you.
Blessings to you too. Thank you. Have a lovely day.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.